Welcome back to the Anamkara Energy Healing Podcast with me, Simon North. Well, here's day two of Kurt's long walk on the Pilgrim's Way, and we get into talking about the people that he meets and the things he sees in the landscape, which in fact is a lot of lambs, because lambing is going on at the moment. In the first part, we actually talk about going to walk to a tumulus. Well, in fact, he actually had walked past it and it wasn't really much of a feature. So we actually then, we decided to walk along the rest of the route. So forgive that little continuity error. And then we did walk over to a fairy tree, and there's another continuity error coming up, so I'm afraid we all rather got carried away with it. But look, don't worry about it. It's really what Kurt's talking about that's important. So the first voice you'll hear will be mine, and then we'll get into listening to what Kurt's got to say about his pilgrimage. Thank you. So it's day two, and here we are. We've met up again. I went to the end, dropped you off at the start, and I've walked back towards you, and we've met in this lovely wood, and just stopped for a little bite to eat, sitting on a log. So how's day two gone so far this morning?
Awesome, beautiful. I was just saying, wasn't I, it's the quietest stage yet. There was one small B road, and that's been it. And it's been stunningly beautiful. Yeah, I did a couple of 360s where I just stood still. Everywhere you looked, you know, was a tree, a field, an animal.
Yeah, and people, what people have you seen?
So a couple of locals walking around, walking or working, and I was on the brow of a hill, sandwiched between two big green pastures, absolutely spattered with lambs. I mean, literally hundreds of them. And there's a stile in that point, and there were two women approaching. And I went through and opened the gate, and we smiled, and I said, I'll shut the gate for you if you wish. And they said, thank you. And that was just a cue for chatter. And one of them's English, and one of them, I believe, was Dutch. And she was raving about it. And she was saying, look at this. Look at all these lambs, so many lambs. And I was saying, yeah, it's a lot of lambs. And then she said, have you seen the only black one in the field? Look, can you see? And I was like, no, I can't. Oh, yeah, I can see it. And she said, look, one black one amongst thousands of white ones. And I said, yeah, well, there's always a bit of yin amongst the yang, right?
Yeah, we're going to walk down to a tumulus in a minute, to see if we can pick up the energy there. But this wood is really beautiful. It's got a real nice mixture of different trees. Mm. You know, just looking across some silver birch, some beech and oak, and some pines. But there's one tree here just by us which has got some really nice things. People have kind of, well, somebody's made a fairy door.
Pixie door.
A pixie door. Which is homemade and looks great, actually. And a few, let's walk over there, actually. Let's just wander over.
I'm shoeless, but...
Oh, of course you are, yeah. All right, I'll pause.
I'm game.
I'll pause.
So this is where you should have heard us talking about this fairy tree, and I'm really sorry that we didn't do that. We moved on, and we did some Tai Chi, and then we walked a little bit further along the trail, and in fact, you know, didn't get the voice recorder out until, you know, we were sort of getting towards the end. So there's just one final chunk to go. So sorry about the... second continuity issue of the day, but so here we go again.
So we're approaching the end of day two for me, and I shall be bidding you a fond farewell at the village of Chawton, where Jane Austen had a house, and we're walking on a lovely grove down a track which we believe Jane Austen herself may well have walked down, maybe got some inspiration for
some of her work. And we're going to walk under a railway arch, which is a brick railway arch, which is quite a lovely feature.
It's beautiful. It has a lovely arrangement of red bricks and actually a beautiful piece of graffiti, a kind of flaming dog dragon, which actually really looks really good on it.
We've been picking up a little bit on architecture, haven't we, on our travels
along,
you know, various types of brickwork and styles of architecture. Just, you know, you see just about everything, don't you? Sort of, they do mark the landscape.
Yeah. I think one of the things I found very interesting about this walk so far, actually, in that respect, is you can see modern history enveloping older history architecturally. So, as you know, you'll walk through a tiny hamlet or a tiny village, and it's like a bowl of thatched cottages or sort of pseudo Tudor timber constructed archaic pieces, you know. And then around it quite often are, you know, more modern buildings, and you can really see how the history has laid out over time. And sometimes when you're in the middle of those tiny places, you feel immediately transported back 200 years, you know, sometimes 300 years, 400. And it's a real treat, actually, to have that experience in a place like this.
We talked yesterday a little bit about following in the footsteps of people who have trodden along the Pilgrim's Way for many centuries, and back when it was an actual pilgrimage going from church to church and connecting the two cathedrals of Winchester and Canterbury, and whether we'd picked up any stories or thoughts about those people. And I'm just wondering if anything has come to you today.
Today?
Or yesterday, even.
I've definitely felt, from being in those places I just mentioned to being in gullies and ravines and in a copse on a hill, I've definitely felt and seen the presence of, you know, ancestors. You know, you can sometimes just see a shepherd herding their flock by hand, you know, in a meadow. You can see, you know, a couple of women walking and strolling through, you know, groves, talking about life generally. And if you stop talking, of course, and stop thinking, I don't think it takes much for the nature to actually put those images and feelings in your soul, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been noticing a lot of wildflowers today. I think that's I've had a bit more of a nature-y awareness day today. And the hedgerows and the wildflowers. And that's been really fantastic. I mean, it's April and everything's coming into bloom, isn't it?
Yeah. Particularly the tree shrine, that really resonated with you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I just like it when people honour nature. And they did it in a lovely way because, you know, all the things around that were natural things, bits of wood, bits of shell, you know, and it wasn't too man-made or manufactured, you know. And I think that's great, you know. And I think we should honour nature in that way. It gets, you know, we're part of a movement, aren't we, of getting... It's called getting back to nature. Well, did we ever really leave nature that we need to get back to it? But maybe awareness of it is becoming more important.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically speaking, I would say you can't not be separated from nature because you are nature. Absolutely, you know, just as a tree is producing apples, you know, and it's appling, as Alan Watts once said, that the planet is peopling. It's producing people. So, you know, you are nature, and you can't separate it in that sense. And I think that what people are really talking about is more to do with the sort of symbolic and literal plasticity that they're putting onto it, they're rapidly realizing, do you know, this doesn't really serve me anymore. It's making me anxious, and I'm rushing around, and I'm communing with plastic items that give me limited short-term pleasure. But bizarrely, give me a woodland, give me a beach, give me a mountain, and every time it hits my soul and nourishes me completely. So I think that people are waking up to that a lot more, especially as so much of this land is being deprived of an audience, you know.
And that's where I left him. And we finished off the walk. We said our goodbyes. I was really sad to leave him and let him go. But since then, he's been sending lots of pictures to me and a few funny videos and things. So he's been having an absolutely wonderful time. And the weather's been amazing. So he's got lots of tales to tell. I'm going to go back at the end of his walk and walk the last part into Canterbury. So there will be one further episode tying it all together and giving us all his thoughts and overview of the whole 140 miles. I must say, in the first episode, we talked about Rupert Sheldrake, didn't we, and his lovely book that inspired Kurt. And I was cheeky. I sent Rupert an email with a copy of the first episode of this little trilogy, and lo and behold, he did reply. And when I passed it on to Kurt, he was absolutely thrilled that Rupert Sheldrake, who's one of Kurt's heroes, I think, had you know, knew about the journey and replied to him. It was a really lovely moment. So yeah, that was a great moment for both of us, actually. So not much more for me to say now, other than keep listening. And we'll be back with a final wrap of this whole pilgrimage trilogy, as it's turned out. Boy, I wish I could have spent more time walking with him, but I will at least do the final stage with him. So thank you very much for listening. And yeah, we'll be back with the final episode quite soon. Thank you very much.